Okay, today's daf is Tzadivav. We're going to start right at the top. Elak Deirot Shel Mikdash. So if you recall, we were discussing this Merikan Shtifa. We had a machloket in the Mishnah that it's, first we said it's not just cooking in it, it's also if you pour hot water into it, right? Which sounds like there's a bit of an overlap between this and koshering. You know, when things need koshering, because it's not just if you cook something, but if it's hot. Then the Gemara asked, well, what if you cook something in it, but it doesn't actually get absorbed into the walls, which we really couldn't find an answer to that. And then they started talking about, they went off on another topic about this tanur that got smeared with fat, with animal fat on the side, right? We have this oven with animal fat on the side. And then we said that Rabba Bar Ahilai said you can't eat bread from cooked in this oven ever because the bread will be meat and then you might eat it with dairy, which we saw practically Ruth shared with us that she actually had an experience with that where accidentally had it with meat. So basically he said you can never ever use this oven for making bread. And then the Gemara questioned it and said, what do you mean? Can't you kosher? Can't you just burn a fire inside the oven and that should be fine? So they knocked out his opinion, and then the Gemara ended with, if we knock out this opinion, then why do we break these kederot before Pesach that have because we're worried about Chamesh Shavar Alav of Pesach that will be in them? And then they said, well, so we had two answers. One is, it's matechet. Okay, in other words, matechet can be koshered, but klecheres can't be koshered. And the second option was to say, and this is the one we're going to deal with now, that there's a difference between, that it could be cheres, but there's a difference between whether you burn things from whether the fire is on the inside or the fire is on the outside. Where we talked about these ovens before, the fire was inside. If the fire's inside, then it can kosher the walls. If the fire's outside, then it can't because it's not strong enough because the walls inside is where the food gets absorbed into the walls. So now they say, based on that answer, if we go with the second answer that Ravashi gave, Ela kederot shel mikdash amai yishavru, nehadrinu lekivshonot. If that's the case, why do we break any of the kederot that they use in the mikdash, which has the kudshim absorbed in it? So why do we break them, the ones that are kli cheres? Why don't we just throw them into the kiln? And throwing them in the kiln, what will happen? And as if you remember, what did we say? We're worried. We said, why don't we kosher then? I forgot to mention this part. Why don't we kosher any kind of pot, mibifnim, put fire inside, and then, oh no, we're worried it's going to break. So they say, well, now in the mikdash, maybe we're not worried about that. Now, there's a few possible reasons why not. Number one, if we throw it in a kiln, then the heat, right, if we put fire on the outside or the inside, if we put fire on the inside, let's say, of a pot, the concern is that it's uneven and the fire is going to get down the inside and it'll cause it to crack. But if you put it in a kiln where the fire gets equally everywhere, both on the inside and the outside, then there's less likelihood of it breaking. That's one possibility. Another possibility is when it's your own pots, you're worried about them. When it's the mikdash pots, you're not so worried. So they'll break, and the mikdash has money, and they'll buy new ones. People are not as concerned for public property, right? It's an interesting theory, which makes a lot, right? We often see this. People are not as concerned, unfortunately, about public property than they are about their own private property. So they say, why don't we just put them in the kivshon? So Amar Rabbi Zeira, lefisha eino sin kivshonot b'Yerushalayim. Ah, there's a reason, and that's because of Rashi says mishum kutra, which is the smoke. We're worried that the smoke is going to blacken the walls in Yerushalayim, and we don't want Yerushalayim to get disgraced. Oh, we should close that window. And because of that, it's a sort to make kivshonot in Yerushalayim. It's a sort to make these kiln fires in Yerushalayim because of the smoke, and that's why they don't burn. They don't put these pots into the kiln, and that's why they break them. Okay, Amar Abaye. So now Abaye says, fine. So we don't break pot. We don't use the kiln in Yerushalayim because of the fire. But he says, so what do we do instead? We're in the mikdash. We have all these pots, these klei cheres that have kodshim, right? All the time. We're making these kodshim in the klei cheres. What do we have to do? We have to break the klei cheres. Where do we have to break them? In the azara. So he says, okay, we don't do kivshon over Yerushalayim because we're worried it's going to blacken the walls in Yerushalayim. So comes Abaye and he says, v'chi osin ashpatop azara. We're going to make a huge garbage mess in the, we're going to have these huge garbage cans full of broken pots of klei cheres. And that doesn't sound so appropriate for the mikdash either. So what do they say? They say, Abaye, ishtemite, he forgot, ha detane shmaya bekal navo. He forgot what Shmaya said in Kal Navo. Some people say it's Rav Shmaya. Shkal Nevo is the name of a place. That Shivrei Kli Cheres Nivlaim Bimkomam. There were these 10 miracles that happened in the Mikdash, in the Azara, and one of them was that every time they broke the Kli Cheres, they miraculously got absorbed into the ground, and therefore you don't have to worry about these garbage cans in the middle of the Azara full of, you know, broken pottery shards. Okay. Ella, Handa Amarav Nachman Amarav Ravua, Tanur Shal Mikdash Shal Matechet Hava. So if that's the case, then let's go back to the Tanur Shal Mikdash was Matechet. Hava Navi Decheres Desekomi Bifnimhu. If, according to, again, we're back to the second answer of Ravashi, it was all Klei Cheres, it just depends whether the Hesekomi Bifnim or Hesekomi Bachutz. Now, if we say that Hesekomi Bifnim, you can put the fire on the inside of these earthenware Kelim, and, you know, we can't do it on a kli, but you could do it on a tanur, because the tanur, it's not going to break, right? The kli, we're worried it's going to break. But the tanur, that's how they did it, so we should be able to kosher it. So why, again, do we not use kli cheres in the mikdash? We learned that we use matechet. We should be able to use kli cheres. So what do they answer? The reason we don't use kli cheres is for a different reason. What's the reason? Because the ovens functioned with multiple purposes. The ovens were used for baking, but there's certain cases, okay, let's go back to our mincha. What do you do with a mincha? You take the solet and the shemen, and you mix it up, and what do you mix it in, do you remember? In a kli sharet, right? And that sanctifies it. However, there's a few things that we make that aren't mixed with oil, and it's the shtei alechem and the lechem apanim, which actually don't, the dough doesn't really get mixed up in a kli sharet. So what happens to it? I don't know exactly how they did. I mean, they obviously had to mix it a little bit, but somehow it's not mixed in a kli sharet, and therefore, where do they get sanctified? In the oven. So the oven has to function also as an oven and also as a kli sharet, and we're going to learn in a minute that the kli sharet are not allowed to be cheres. Okay? So that's why the ovens are not, are matechen and not cheres. So the kemet di ikash tei alechem balecha bapadim. Da'afiyatam batanur u'kedushatam batanur. Okay, they're not made in a kli sharet, right? Rashi says because they don't need shemen. Okay, they obviously need, right? Lishatam v'arichatam bachutz. That's why, right? You can actually mix them. That's why they're not in a kli sharet. Since there's no shemen in them, they say that you can actually mix it outside the azara. In which case, it's not in a kli sharet because the kli sharet were only in the azara. So you can, in theory, make the dough outside, bring it in and bake it inside. And then when would it get sanctified? In the oven. And that's then havalei kli sharet. The kli sharet acheres lo avdina. And you can't make a kli sharet out of cheres. Fa'afilu Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you can see here in Masechet Sukkah it says, there's a machloket between them about what materials kli cheres can be made out of. Lo ka'amar, so Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says it's not only matechet, he includes other types, but he doesn't include cheres. Even he doesn't include cheres. Lo ka'amar, ela de'etz, aval de'cheres lo. He says a kli sharet can be made either of metal or of wood. Now, obviously, you're not going to make an oven made out of wood. That wouldn't be very smart. The whole thing will get burned down. So therefore, they were made of matechet, and that now explains differently than we thought until now, that it was made of matechet, because we didn't want it to be klei cheres, and then you'd have to break it. So now, according to the second answer of Rav Ashi, that really you could kosher, in other words, this is just a possibility, there were two possibilities of Rav Ashi, either klei cheres always has to get broken, and klei matechet can get koshered, alternatively, you could say, klei cheres, the hesekomi bifnim, where the fire can go inside, you can actually kosher. And the reason why in the Mikdash they had the ovens not made of cheres was for a different reason, because of the klei sharet. Okay, now we have an interesting little aside. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda have a ragil kamed Rami Bar Chama. Okay, he was Rami Bar Chama's student. Shav keva azel Rav Ashi. I'm sorry, Rav Sheshet. He now goes and he decides to learn instead of it's a Rami Bar Chama, he learns with Rav Sheshet. Okay. Obviously, this a little bit offended Rami Bar Chama that his student left him and went to Rav Sheshet. So, a little while later, we don't know how long passed, but one day they bump into each other. Amar Lei, so Rami Bar Chama, in his a little bit angry mode, says to him, Al kapta naptan recha ate le liyad. He says to him, if you go see like an important officer, okay, and you give him your hand, will will his smell come onto your hand. In other words, if you come in contact with him, right, you think that you're going to get some of his greatness upon you, right? Some of his, you'll take, like, people will treat you with respect because he came in contact with you, you know? And he's saying, obviously not. Like, just because you bump into the guy, right, just because you have something to do with the officer doesn't mean that people are going to look at you as an officer. So he says to him, Mishum de'azalach lekame de Rav Sheshet, havilach ki Rav Sheshet, what you think, because now you go learn with Rav Sheshet, people will treat you with respect like they treat Rav Sheshet? What, were you trying, you're doing it just for your kavod? So, okay, you think this wasn't the nicest thing to say. Well, he's going to really get it back in his face. Amar le, la mishum hachi, he says, not, that wasn't the reason. Mar ki be'ina milta, pashat le misfara. This is the situation. When I was with you, that's Mar. Mar is you, okay? When I was with you, when I had a question, ki be'ina milta, pashat le misfara, you would answer me through logic. Ki mishkachna matnita pirchala. But then I would find brito that went against your svara, your logic, and I basically, you know, challenge you with that and knock out your opinion. Rav Sheshet, but with Rav Sheshet, it's different. Ki ba'ina milta minei, pashalei mi matnita. When I ask him a question, he finds some sort of brito to support his answer. Dechinami mishkacha manita upircha, and when I find some other brita that challenges him, matnitu matnita he. That's okay, because he could say, I have my brita, and I could say, I have my brita. In other words, he could claim there's two different approaches in the britas. This is where we constantly talk about this, but here the Gemara actually says it explicitly, where an Amora can't disagree with a brita unless he has another brita to support him. So basically, if Rami Barham has a nice logical argument, but he brings a brita, if you remember, we had this just the other day where he said, oh, ki tanya tanya. They asked her a papa question, he said, and then they brought a brita to disagree with him, and he said, oh, well, if there's a brita, then I guess I'm wrong. Right? And he admitted defeat. So basically, he says to Rami Barham, this is what happens all the time. Every time you answer me something, I bring you a brita and knocks you out. When I ask for Sheshet, so he brings me a brita and I bring him a brita, but that's okay. You know, we can live with two britas, and, you know, I can disagree with his opinion, but at least he has source for it. So Rami Racham is a little offended. Amar le, by me name Milta de Ifshit Lach. Okay, go ask me any question. Okay? De Ifshit Lach Kimatanita. And I'll bring you a brita to support my answer. Okay? And I'll give you, I don't know if he's exactly saying I'll bring you a brita, but he's basically saying, I'll give you an answer to a question that you'll have a brita that supports my answer. Let's see if he succeeds. Bamine, so what's his question? Obviously, now we're going to get back to our issue. Bishel b'miktzat kli, ta'um mirikau shtifau ein ta'um. Let's say you cook, but you only use one side of the kli for cooking it. Okay, let's say you're frying up a chatat steak, okay, and you fry it up on one side of the frying pan, and it doesn't get to the other side. Okay, I don't know, forget like the juices. It would have to be a case where somehow it really didn't get to the other side. So he says, would you need to do mirikan shtifa on the whole thing or just on the part that the chatat was cooked in? So, amar le eino ta'un. He says, it doesn't need mirikan shtifa on the entire kli, only on the part it was cooked in. Midi dehave ahazah, just like with the dam. We seem to keep making these comparisons because they're right next to each other in the psukim. Just like when the dam chatat gets on the beged, what do we say? You only have to wash out the spot where the chatat is, the blood is. You don't have to wash the entire beged. So likewise here, it would be the same. Now notice, this was again a logical argument. He didn't bring a braita. So now, what does he say back to him? Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda. V'ha lo tane hachi. He says, but there's no, I don't know any source that says what you're saying. You said you would have a braita to support. I don't know any braita that supports this. Amar leh, he says, no, it's logical. Mistabra. Mistabra kebeged. Ma beged eno ta'un kibus ela makom adam. Af kli eno ta'un rikau shifa ela b'makom bishul. This seems to be just repeating his argument, right? He's saying it's just very logical. And, you know, maybe he thought he didn't understand it well enough, and that's why he spells it out better now, right? Because he's basically saying the same thing as before. Just like the beged didn't need kibus only where the dam went, also the kli only needs rikau shifa wherever the bishul was. Amar leh, mi dame. How can you make this comparison? Dam lo mipa'apea, bishul mipa'apea. Number one, he says it's a bad argument because dam doesn't spread on the entire beged, But when you cook something, it's like I said, right? Try to cook meat without some of the flavor going into the whole kli, right? When you're heating up the kli, everything kind of moves around and it's going to get all over the kli. So that's not a good comparison. Ve'od, and furthermore, he's now going to bring a Tana Itik source, which disagrees. Classic, right? In other words, here, Rav Rahava says, oh, I don't have a problem. And then, of course, he catches him up. What's his braita? And here he's even getting more, because he's saying, number one, it's not even logical what you're saying. And number two, right, it's really in his face, which teaches you what? You know, you should be careful what you say and be careful. And it's interesting. He claimed, this is also a very interesting insight to the story. Rami Bar Chama looked at his student leaving and said, oh, his student's clearly doing it just for the kavod. When really his student was doing it because he was a better teacher, right? And Rami Bar Chama, this is always how we always view things through our outlook. He was clearly after the kavod because he was very humiliated that the student didn't give him the proper kavod, and he was after the kavod, so he looked at his student as if that must be what's motivating his student, but really it was what was motivating him. And here in the end, he gets totally flipped up, you know, he tries to show off almost to say, oh, I want my kavod back, and tries to show off. And in the end, he totally loses. Ve'od Tanya, so here's the braita that goes against it. Chomer b'haza'a mimirika u'shtifa, v'chomer b'mirika u'shtifa mibaza'a. Okay, each one has its own chomer. Haza'a is a chomer, and mirika u'shtifa is a chomer. Chomer b'haza'a, shahaza'a yeshna b'chata'ora chitzoniot u'b'chata'ora pnimiyot. Haza'a, this din of the blood of the chatat, is relevant both by the chatat chitzoni and the chatat pnimi. But the mirikan shtifa is only the chatat chitzoni. Why? Because the mirikan shtifa is only meat that you cooked in, right? It's only meat. Okay, now we're going to learn. It's not only meat of chatat, but it's meat of chatat that was permitted for eating. If you remember the chatat pnimiyot, what do we do with the meat? We take it outside and we burn it by the Beit HaDeshen. You remember, these are the par helem devar shel tzibur and the par kohen HaMashiach and all those. All of them get burnt. Nobody eats any of the meat of them. They all get burnt outside. So the din of mirkan shtifa is only kelim where you cook the meat. Number one, you cook them after the zrikat dam, once they were allowed. As if you cook them before they were allowed, then there's no din of mirkan shtifa. Okay, the issue is once they're permitted for eating after the zrikat dam, and only things that can be permitted for eating. So therefore, it's the haza'a is both by the chatat chitzona and the pnimi, but which we read in the previous mission, a few mishnayot ago, we read that the haza'a is for both, but the mirikan shtifa is not for the pnimi. V'yeshna lefnei zrika, and the dam is relevant before zrika. Remember, once you sprinkle it, then it's already not a problem. And this is only where the chatat is only relevant after zrika, because remember, zrika permits the meat for eating, and therefore it's only meat that was cooked that was permitted for eating, so you would have a din of mirikan shtifa. So masha'ein came b'mirika u'shtifa. Chomer b'mirika u'shtifa, shahamirika u'shtifa noheget bein b'kotchem kotchem bein b'kotchem kalim. This is obviously only according to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, not Rabbi Shimon. But he's saying now the mirikan shtifa is kotchem kalim and kotchem kotchem. And here's our big line. You ready? Remember what his question was? What if you cooked in only part of the kli? Do you have to do mirikan shtifa on the whole kli? And what did Rami Rachama say? Only part of the kli, just like haza'a. And here we have in this braita, one of the chumrot of mirikan shtifa over the haza'a is bishel b'miktzata kli ta'umrika u'shtifa kol ha'kli ma she'en kein b'haza'a. So there you have it explicitly against Rami Rachama. Okay, so he's really nailed. And what does he say? Just like what Papa said a few days ago, Amarle I Tanya Tanya. He admits defeat and he says, I guess you're right. Okay, and here, it's a double admitting defeat. It's number one, you're right that I was wrong about this. And number two, I was clearly wrong about accusing you about having gone there just for your kavod. And I realize now you had the right intentions. Vitamamai, what's the reason for this halacha that even b'miktzata kli? Because Amar Kra, ve'im b'kli nechosha bushala. Okay, they say, im b'kli nechosha bushala, which sounds like, if in the kli it was cooked, which would mean, afilu b'miktzat kli. It doesn't say if in the entire kli it was cooked, right? It sounds like if in any part of the kli it was cooked, you'd already have to do mirikan shtifa. Okay, moving on to the next section of the Mishnah. Echad kotche kotchim, right? Echad kotchim kal. Tanu Rabbanan. So again, we're going to have a braita to find the source for this. Chatat, and as the source for the machloket between them, right, whether it's kodshe kodshim only, right, according to Tanakama, or Rabbi Shimon says it's kodshim kodshe kodshim only. Okay, and Tanakhama says both kodshe kodshim and kodshim kana. Tanu Rabbanan chatat. Okay, this is the pasuk in the beginning of that section. Okay, I think I have the sheet still on the. If you want to use the sheets with the pasukim. Okay, remember it started out with Zo Torat HaChatat. The first pasuk was, right, this is Torat HaChatat, and then it gave all these details, which among those details was the Hazaah, was the Merikah and Shtifah, etc. So Chatat, Ein Li Ala Chatat. This sounds like it's only referring to the Korban Chatat. Kol Kodeshim Binayim, where do we learn any kind of sacrifices, which includes Kodesh Kodeshim and Kodeshim Kali? Talmud Lomar, Kodesh Kodeshim Hi. Now, you might have thought Kodesh Kodeshim sounds like only Kodesh Kodeshim. But according to the first opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda, who matches Tanakam in our Mishnah, we're going to assume that Kodesh Kodeshim means all Kodeshim. Yachol Shani Marbet HaTruma. You might have thought also Truma. If Truma is cooked in a Kli, in order to get out the Truma, right, what would happen? If you cook Truma in a Kli, and then someone else cooks something else in the Kli, so it's going to have the flavor of Truma, and if you're not a Kohen, you can't eat it. So you might have thought that the same din of Merikah and Shtifa applies to Truma. Talmud Lamar, Ota, Prat LeTruma. Okay, the Ota comes up in the later Pasuk, if you remember. Thanks. It comes up in Kaf Bet. Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochal Ota, Kodesh Kodeshim Hi. Okay, so there's the Ota. Okay, so basically they're saying only that, which means only Kodeshim, but not non-sacrifices. And Truma would be, if you remember, when we learned about Tuma and Tara, okay, there's Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i. If you remember, Sheni can only be Matami Shlishi, and Shlishi can only be Truma. In other words, once you're a Sheni, the only thing you can mess up is Truma and Kodeshim. And a Shlishi, so let's say you have Tame Truma, that can mess up a Revi'i, which is only Kodeshim. Kodeshim is always on a higher level than Truma. You see it there, you see it here. The Kodeshim is one step higher. So, yes, Kodeshim, you need Marika and Shiva, but not Truma. Okay, which shows his exception is Truma. His exception is not Kodeshim Kalim, right? Which is going to be the next person. So he says Ota comes to exclude Truma. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kodesh Kodeshim Tuni Merikah Ushtifa Kodeshim Kalim Einam Tuni Merikah Ushtifa. He says it's only Kodesh Kodeshim. How does he get that? Dechtiv Kodesh Kodeshim, right? Kodesh Kodeshim Hi, which means Kodesh Kodeshim In Kodeshim Kalim Lo. Okay, and he doesn't darshan Ota. He has a different drasha for Ota. We saw that previously. My tamad Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Midi itzrich Ota lemiute truma. If you needed the word Ota, if he has that drasha that it comes lema'e truma, michlal de kodeshim kalim tuni merika ushtifa. Right, that's what I said before, which is if truma needs to be excluded, obviously whatever's higher than truma is not excluded, and that's going to be kodeshim kalim. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lecha, Ota Kida Amrinan. He says Ota doesn't come to exclude Truma. Ota comes for the drasha that we saw previously, which is, right, I forgot, Kida Amrinan, Otak Shera Velo Psula. Right, he used it to exclude a Chata Psula. Only this is going to be a problem with Merikah Ushtifah, but if you cooked a Chata Psula, then that wouldn't need Merikah Ushtifah. That's what he used the Ota drasha for. Okay, so now, according to this, what did we establish? Mirikan Shtifa is only a din for either Kodesh Kodeshim exclusively or Kodesh Kodeshim Kodeshim Kalim, but clearly not for Truma. Now the Gemara is going to say, Truma lo baya Shtifa Mirika? It really doesn't need Shtifa Mirika. And at this point, I don't know if you're confused by this, but I've been a little confused by it, and you can see the Gemara is a little confused by it, which is, where's the crossover between Mirikan Shtifa and regular Hag'alav, kashering, right? Boiling something and getting the flavor out. So right now they're saying, if you're going to say Truma doesn't need Merikah Ushtifa, it sounds like it doesn't even need kashering, as we would call it, right? You don't even need hagala. So the Gemara says, V'ha'atanya, k'deirash bishel ba'basar, lo yivashel ba'chalav, v'im bishel b'no ten tam. Okay, now we're getting into basic dinim of kashrut. If you have a pot that you cooked meat, you can't cook chalav, and if you did, then it's going to be usher if the chalav is enough to give flavor. Right, that's where we come up with shishim. That was the number that was established, that 1 in 60, it doesn't give flavor. But more than that, it will give flavor. Truma, lo yivashel bachulin. If you have a pot of truma, you can't cook chulin in it. Because, again, you're going to mess up your chulin and get them to be considered truma. Vim bishel, and if you did, b'no tein tam. It's going to forbid it if it has enough flavor of truma. So what do you see here? That it needs kashering. right? That you can't cook it in, right? It's a problem. So right now, the Gemara is assuming that Shtifa Merika is like Hagala, which is a strange assumption because it's not Hagala, right? It's obviously something different. We're only in the next Mishnah, which we'll finish up today's daf with. It's going to finally explain a little bit what is Merika and Shtifa, which is the next Mishnah at the very bottom of the daf. Amar Abaye, lo tzricha ela l'da amar mar, bishel b'miksa kli ta'um Merika u'shtifa kol akli. Ha'truma lo tzarich ela makom bishu. Says, the difference between truma and shtifa merika, when we talked about shtifa merika before, we were saying, we meant that the whole din about you have to do the whole kli, even if it's miksata kli, that law applies only for kodshim. But if it was truma, you would only need to kasher the makom bishul itself. Now there's a whole debate about this, because first of all, Rav is going to bring a different answer, but do we take this halacha lamaase? It's true, and as generally when we kasher a pot, we don't say you only kasher the part where the flavor got absorbed. Some people say it's a unique din by truma, because truma is actually not usser. Normally we talk about isser being balua betocha pot, you know, into the pot. So then maybe this is some unique halacha by truma, that it's only the part where the truma got into. That's one. There's like some interesting things about it. I want to remember everything. Second. Right, the Rambam actually paskins that if you cook truma in only a part of the vessel, then you actually don't need to rinse the entire vessel, just where the cooking was. Right, and then, 1 second. Right, there's all different opinions about this. The Rashba is more machmir in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says that actually you need boiling water. There's a bit of a debate about how we deal with truma in general. Is it just rinsing? Is it also boiling? Anyway, okay. So that's Abaye's answer. Rav Amar, lo tzricha ela da amar mar, b'mayim v'lo b'yayin, b'mayim v'lo b'mazug. Ha, afilu b'yayin, v'afilu b'mazug. When we talk about merika and shtifa, that has to be done with water and not with any other liquid like wine or diluted wine. Okay, but if you wanted to do this, very interesting, you probably never thought of this, not that you really want to do this, but according to this, you could do hagala with wine or with diluted wine. Okay, that hagala can be done with some other thing, and the unique halacha of merika, and that's what they're basically trying to say, is that merika and shtifa is a unique halacha. According to Abaye, it's unique in that it needs to be in the entire kli and not just where it is. Whereas truma, it can just be done in its place. And Rava says merika and shtifa has to do with that you have to use water specifically. You can't use anything else.
In other words, he's saying any liquid that boils is the boiling process, and it's right. Not that actual.
Exactly. So that's when it comes to koshering. So for truma, that would work. Rabba Bar'ula, another answer is, Amar lo tzricha ela l'da amar mar, mirika u'shtifa b'tzonen, ha afilu b'chamin. This really gets down to that this is according to the one who says that mirika and shtifa are with cold water. And the truma is even b'chamin. Now this sounds weird. Weren't we talking about koshering? So the assumption is that what they mean here is that you have to do a double process or a triple process when it comes to korbanot. You have to boil it, obviously. In other words, there's no way to get the flavor out other than hagala. So with truma, afilu b'chamim means only chamim. You just need to do hagala, which is what we would have thought in the beginning when we started this, right? In other words, we started with saying he thinks they're all one and the same. So this answer is really the best answer, because it's saying for truma, you just need regular koshering, which makes sense because it was also in the context of basar and chalav and truma. But when it comes to a korban, you need to do hagala, and then you need to do merika and shtifa, which are with cold water. We're going to get to in a minute in the Mishnah how exactly you do this process and what it is, although even once we see the Mishnah, we're going to see it's not 100% clear. So, hani chalaman damar merika u'shtifa b'tzonen. That's only if you hold the merika and shtifa are both with cold water. Ela laman damar merika b'chamin u'shtifa b'tzonen. Some people say that the difference between merika and shtifa is that merika is with hot water and shtifa is with cold water. Ma'i kalamemar, what can you say? So the answer is shtifa yiterata. And here we have two basic answers. One is, if you say that merika is hot, then you also have the same thing by truma. It's hot. So the answer is that this, that the mirikan shtifa in addition need shtifa yiterata. They also need shtifa. In other words, let's put it like this. Truma, you just do mirika, which is with hot water, which we're going to say mirika is synonymous with hagala. This is one way of reading the Gemara. I'll tell you a different way in a minute. And mirika and shtifa needs hagala, which is mirika, plus you need to wash it with cold water also. Shtifa yiterata means it needs shtifa in addition. Yiterata means additional. It needs not an additional shtifa. It needs shtifa in addition to the mirika, which is more than what truma needs, which is just mirika. But shtifa yiterata sounds like it needs an additional shtifa. So some people say the general hagala needs boiling and washing with cold water, and that washing it with cold water does the final, you know, kind of finishes it up. And that what this needs is an additional shtifa. You need to wash it twice with cold water. And that's what it means by an additional shtifa. So there's two ways of reading it, which obviously has important ramifications, whether you say the hagala needs to have cold water also after it or not. Did you want to say something?
I was going to say something. In the Roman bathhouses, when they would cold and warm and hot, and then they would always go back to the cold before they came up to seal everything.
So it's the same idea, right? Yeah. You go into a steam room, they always say go in cold water after, right? Because just to kind of close up the pores, exactly. So it's the same kind of idea. Maybe it's similar idea here. Could be. Okay. Now we're going to get to the Mishnah where they talk about what's actually Mirikan Shtifa. Before that, we're going to get to a different machloket. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Bishel mitchilat haregel, yivashel bo kol haregel. Okay, what does he say? He says when you start, okay, the regel is the busiest time. Most people say this doesn't just mean the regel, it means any time where there's a lot of action going on in the Beit HaMikdash. You can keep cooking your food, and you don't have to do, right, think about it, we were talking about it. You're going to have to do Mirikan Shtifa in between each one. So he says you have the whole holiday to continue doing it because the assumption is every day, we actually learned this way back when, I don't remember in what context, but every day it spits out yesterday's food so that you never have a problem. In other words, what's the issue? We're worried about notar. But if you cook it, you keep continuously cooking it, the old food will come out, it'll be in the new food, so fine, that'll still you'll be able to eat it within that time. And then tomorrow, you know, you'll get new flavors in, so that you don't have to worry about notar while the mikdash is being busy. The chachamim omrim ad zman achila. No, you have, basically, you start in that morning, so you have to worry that the old food is still in there and will get spit out later. So you can't assume it just gets spit out all the time, but maybe it'll still be absorbed in there, and therefore, at the end of each day or whatever, you're going to have to do your Mirikan Shtifa as soon as the time period elapses of when that food can become nota. Okay, now, Mirikan Shtifa, there's actually two different ways of reading it. Some people say, Adzman Achila Mirika Shtifa, and some people say, Mirikan Shtifa should say, Ketzad. Okay, Ketzad Eino Sin, or something like that, like it's missing words here. How do you do Mirikan Shtifa? Mirika ke Mirikata Kos. Ushtifa kishtifatakos. Okay, this sounds like a great explanation, right? What does that mean? Okay, so Rashi says, mirikatakos is mibifnim, like a kosh al bracha. Okay, what are they talking about? A kos? A kosh al bracha. It says in brachot, shetaun hadacha bifnim ushtifa mibachutz. You need to clean it from the inside and you need to clean it from the outside. And that's what mirikan shtifa. The mirika is the inside and the shtifa is the outside. But not everybody agrees with this interpretation. Some people say that, some people say that it's referring to, and the Rambam says that the assumption is that Mirika is, Mirika is scouring, which means it's like a more serious, it's not a matter of inside-outside, it's a more serious scrubbing. And therefore, what the Mishnah is telling you is that scouring is like scouring of a cup, which means what? How do you scour a cup? It's not such a harsh scouring because cups don't get super dirty, right? Think about when you wash your Kiddush cups, right? How well do you wash them, right? I don't know. Maybe some people wash them really well, but usually you kind of just rinse them, right? They don't need a lot of, okay? And that you don't need that, okay? And therefore, you just need to clean the cup like you would clean a regular cup. That's the Rambam's interpretation. Okay. Mirika, and now we're going to see what's the difference between them. Mirikau shifa bitsonein. Okay, according, this is the Manda Amar, that they're both bitsonein. We saw before. Some people say, right, this is, our Mishnah says they're both bitsonein. We learned already in the Gemara, just before, that some people say mirikaz bechamin and shtifaz bitsonein. Hashipud v'haaskala magilam bechamin. If you have a shipud, that's the, where you roast things, and the askala is a... spit in a grill. Okay, right. So it's the grill is the askala. Then you have to magilam bechamim. You need, they definitely need hot. You can't do that with cold. Now the question is, what does it have to do? Are we just talking about koshering? No. The assumption is that we're talking about, if you say that mirikan shtifar are both bitsonein, you need some sort of hagalah. And what are we talking about, right? What two kelim are the most usable kelim when it comes to meat? The spit and the grill, because you're roasting the meat, probably. So they're saying, basically, they also, you know, those pieces of it have to be, have to also go bichamin. Okay, we'll stop here for today.